Happy Friday, Peter. It's good to see you, man.
You too. Always good to be back here in the studios. And where do you start today?
We're starting this morning. We're going to talk, obviously, about the economy with the new payroll numbers. I think it's a big deal. And thanks, Peter. And good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Payroll numbers up. 339,000 is a big number. There's a statement from the White House on the labor reports, on the jobs reports. By the way, about an hour and 15 minutes from now, hour and 20 minutes from now, at 9:35, Kristen Bench joins us. Kristen is a frequent guest on the show. She is a retail analyst by trade. What she has been doing for her entire career is assessing the retail market and advising investors on where the market is going and why it's going there and what's going to happen. And when you put that little stamp over the economy, it talks about you and me and how we spend money. It is about investors and how they invest in those companies or they don't. But it's also the trends of what you and I, the working public, how we spend money and what it says about our economy. She's always a great guest, and she'll join me at 9:35. This is a statement from Joe Biden on the jobs report. Today is a good day for the American economy and American workers. We learned this morning it created 339,000 jobs last month. We have now created over 13 million jobs since I took office. That's more jobs in 28 months than any president created an entire four-year term. And he goes on. He said, in short, the Biden economic plan is working. Most of the country disagrees with that statement. But here's the rub for me with unemployment numbers, and here's the rub with me with job numbers. I've mentioned this before. It isn't about politics for me in these areas, because if the economy fails, if this president's economic plans fail, America fails. Working class Americans fail. Small business owners, people with a dream of business ownership fail. And I don't, for economic or for political gain, I don't want to see that happen. So here's the story. Payroll soars by 339,000, blowing away the highest estimate, even as people employed tumbled by 310,000, sending unemployment rates higher. How does that work? We created 339,000 jobs, but we've also sent unemployment higher. People employed tumbled by 300. There's 310,000 less people employed is what that's saying. The consensus expecting a modest payroll drop from 291,000 to 195,000. The whisper number coming in a little higher at 225. So this is from the website Zero Hedge. The reason why I bring this up is, where is the economy? The litmus test of the economy is usually in your home. It's odd. There's a couple of questions. I've talked about these two questions before, that there are a couple of questions that are asked of people. Number one is, are you doing better this year than you did last year? And then the other one is about expectation. Do you believe next year will be a better year than this year? Very few times has it been affirmative to both questions. And I wonder where the Americans are on that now. I don't believe we're better off than we were a year ago. But I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to whether or not next year is going to be better than this year. I don't know that I have an opinion on that yet. And that's part of the questions for people. So I want you to hear a little bit from what the media is saying. Elizabeth Schultz, ABC News, jobs market's doing well.
The jobs market has been defying expectations, and this is yet another surprisingly strong number. The government's new data shows that 339,000 jobs were added to the workforce in May. That is way above economists' forecasts. The unemployment rate did tick up to 3.7%.
And here's another concern for families, and that is the Dollar General store. They missed their projections of where they're going to be with profit and loss and people shopping there. And I believe their CEO made a comment about their shoppers are now not shopping at Dollar General anymore. They're going to food banks. So it's, for many families, it's gotten that way. And then the anecdotal evidence for us, you know, we're doing this Food Bank Friday promotion with St. Mary's Food Bank. I keep in close contact with St. Mary's Food Bank for a number of reasons. One of them is I love the work they do and I want to support them any way I can. The other reason is because they have their finger on the pulse of the working families around us. As they continue to see record numbers of families, or close to record numbers of families, year over year, needing emergency food boxes. Generally speaking, these are families that are employed. They have homes, but having to make rent or mortgages, but make rent having to put fuel in your vehicle and also putting food on the table, they're falling short somewhere. And the one reprieve they are able to get is an emergency food box from places, or a food bag if you go to United Food Banks in the East Valley, is those emergency food boxes. And it's helping to keep people fed. With that kind of with those numbers still being as high as they are, that's another indicator. It's anecdotal. I understand it's not a scientific approach, but when you talk to the people that are running these food banks, they are saying there is a huge need, and many of these people are first time visitors to St. Mary's Food Bank as a recipient. There are many people that have said in the years past they've been donors or they've been volunteers. Now they're finding themselves on the insides of the cars, driving through the lines, picking up the boxes. Again, anecdotal evidence, but it's something I think that's important for everybody to realize it's still happening. The Biden Labor Department announced massive revisions to wage data, revealing a much worse outlook. In March, the Bureau of Labor Statistics previously reported a fourth quarter increase of 4.9% for hourly compensation in non-farm businesses, but updated it to a decrease of 0.7% on Thursday. According to its revised productivity and cost report, at the same time hourly wages fell, inflation rose, leading to a 4.7% decline in real hourly compensation. This is, again, inflation remains very high. People are working. I'm not denigrating or bad-mouthing what that is, but it isn't the full picture. Inflation continues to go up, and we are now seeing wages soften. It was the big scare. It was the big thing that worried me more than anything else, is that, you know, there was the side hustle and high wages and employees were in demand. If you're in the world that I grew up in, you're working by the hour, but you have a skill. As a tradesman, I had a skill set. I knew I could walk onto a job site anywhere in the country, basically at anywhere, and I could add productivity to a job site to get a project finished. I knew there was some value to my skill set, but it also was dictated by need. If you really needed my skill set, I could get more money from you. If you had a lot of people, I could take a job, but maybe I was in a place where I was in a little bit of a less needed role. So we look at the totality of this, and what are we doing? Where are we going? What's the direction? And for me, that's the issue. So here's about the jobs report. This is an ABC report about people still looking for the jobs they want.
Even though this is a robust job market, people are still having a hard time finding the right job. And I had a chance to speak with LinkedIn's career expert, Catherine Fisher, and she had this advice.
What you really want to do if you're looking for a job right now is be really clear in terms of the skills that you have. Marry that with the industries that are hiring. Don't be beholden to the industry that you may be working in right now or want to work in. You want to go to where the jobs are.
That also means keeping your contacts sharp.
So there is that's a pretty wise advice, but it's also showing where in the past employees were in demand and you could kind of set your standards, meaning I want to work from home. This is the schedule I want to work. I want to be able to do this or that. And employers were a lot more willing to negotiate those things because they had such a need for employees. A lot of that's gone out the window. The jobs are structured the way the employer wants them to. They realize people need those jobs. And there are some people that are working in an industry right now where jobs are going away. And they're saying, take that skill set to another industry. You may not be finding the job you want in the industry that you're in. It's pretty wise advice. I think it's wise advice. What we're going to do in just a few moments, I'm excited about the next conversation. Juan Ciscomani, Republican congressman from District 6 down in southern Arizona, voted yes on the debt ceiling, was vocal about his yes vote. Going to ask him about his yes vote, about what this means, and also what work is left to do. Can we expect any of it to get done? That conversation happens in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, happy Friday. Thanks for being here this morning, listening to part of the show, sharing your morning with me. The debt ceiling conversation continues, passes in the Senate. There were a lot of no votes, a lot of consternation about what was there. There wasn't enough for Republicans, too much for Democrats, but there was enough bipartisan support, especially in the House, to get this thing passed. One of the yes votes, Arizona Congressman Juan Ciscomani, and he joins us now. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, let's talk about the decision. Your yes vote. Can you explain why you were a yes and how you defended that yes?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, first of all, we've been talking about this. Washington has had a spending addiction for a long time. It's given us inflation. It's given us high interest rates. Cost of living is high. These are the things that we were there to tackle and do it responsibly. So what we have here is a negotiation that initially the Democrats were not willing to move the needle at all. They wanted new taxes. They wanted a clean lift on the ceiling. They wanted, red line was no work requirements. They were not even willing to negotiate on this. So we had to push them on this. And the way we did that was with the Limit, Save, and Grow Act, which was the Republican priorities on this debt ceiling. We passed that knowing that that was going to be just a starting point, not the end-all be-all that we knew we were going to be able to get because we have a divided government. So that was the starting point. Finally got Biden to the table after 97 days of refusing to negotiate at all. And that's when we started having the conversations back and forth on this bipartisan supported bill of the Fiscal Responsibility Act. So the way that we've been talking about this is we have a lot of wins on this. It's not a perfect bill. No one is claiming it is. There are things that I wish we would have gotten that we don't have. But I'll talk about the things that we do have in there. We are spending less next year than we are spending this year. There are no new taxes, no new government programs. And the obvious win here is that we didn't do a clean lift of the debt ceiling. The last nine times the debt ceiling had been just clean under Republican and Democrat presidents and Congresses. So this is the first time that happened in the last nine times. And also, we avoided default, and our veterans are getting taken care of, and so are our seniors. So we avoided a very bad situation on either the clean lift or the default, and we actually gained quite a bit of ground. Not perfect. We're turning this big ship around of spending, and we're doing it, one of these bills at a time.
There were a number of Republicans, including some of your colleagues in the Arizona delegation, that voted no. And was there any conversation of what they thought you could get? I'm going to say you, the Republicans, could get that they weren't getting that would have converted them to a yes vote. Did you have conversations about why they continued to vote no?
I honestly don't know what would have gotten them to a yes, Mike, to be honest with you. And they had to make their own calculated decision on what they saw. There's a lot of misinformation out there on what this does. The way that I looked at this, I have a responsibility to govern. Washington is famous for passing things that will never become law just so that they can get their name on something that they agree with. I wasn't sent up there to play those games. I want to get something on the table that will actually get through. The reality is, that whether we like it or not, that we have a Republican House, a Democrat Senate, and a Democrat president. I'm going to work hard to change that and make sure that we win the majority in the Senate and the White House back. But the reality that we have right now is this, and this is what we could agree on. I challenged everyone that was voting no on this. Well, give us something that would have the support on both chambers and that the president would sign. Otherwise, we're just approaching this cliff that will not be good for our country. It would actually be terrible. So this is what we could have that would actually move the needle and avoid the inevitable default that was coming had we not passed this.
Arizona Congressman Juan Ciscomani is joining me. So now let's talk about what's next, because rolling into 2024, everything you just said, is that messaging going to get those victories that Republicans need? Are Republicans, yourself included, going to be able to go to constituents and say we need to expand the majority in the House, we need to gain the majority in the Senate, we need to gain the presidency, and here's why, and here's what it will accomplish? Or do you believe that message is going to resonate rolling into 2024 based on this negotiation?
We have a list of things that we still want to get through on this that we're going to need to have majorities to be able to do that. And that's going to be a good driver to be able to get to that point. Speaking of next steps, though, even before 24, in terms of the election, we have to look at
moving as a part of life.
That is where where the spending goes and how much of the spending happens is going to take place. And that's something that some people may not fully be aware of, that this bill that we passed this week gives the framework and the top line of the spending. But how much of it we spend and where it goes will be up to the appropriations process. And I'm the only member from Arizona on the appropriations committee. So I'll be carrying the voice of my constituents, of course, and also Arizona in terms of where we need to be fiscally responsible, which is going to be all across the board by funding defense, funding our veterans, and rescinding COVID unused money and so on. So these are the things that we're going to be still battling in appropriations. So I tell people this isn't over. Whether you're happy or unhappy with the vote, this is something that we need to continue to talk, because the real battle is going to be in the appropriations process.
So then that leads me to the question that your Republican colleagues that voted no, is there a rift within the party, or is it you now realizing, are they all realizing, all of you collectively, that you're right, this battle isn't over, and in order to get the things you want, you're going to have to stay together. Is that what's next?
No rift on my behalf with anyone, for sure. I have friends and colleagues that voted no on this, which we didn't agree on this vote, but now we're on to the next battle. And that's what we have to move on here in terms of focusing how we're going to be distributing this money now. And I look forward to having a conversation with my colleagues, but definitely my constituents. All day today, Mike, I'm actually driving to Wilcox right now. Some members in the past, even in this district, have taken a vote like this one and then gone away for a few days or weeks to avoid the feedback. I'm not doing that. I'm actually going to the entire parts of the district over the weekend to hear from people, both that are happy and unhappy with this. So not only with my colleagues, but with my constituents, I want to continue to hear from them on this and work together on the next step, which is the appropriations process.
So the last question then is one of the big negatives for some Republicans was defense spending, military spending. What happens with military spending during this time? Do you think it will be sufficient?
That's one of the points that I want to get more in there as well. Defense spending was increased, but it was increased by 3%. I wish it would have been increased by more than that, at least to be able to keep up with inflation. And that wasn't there. So that's a battle that we're going to continue to have. And that's one of the issues that is still on our list. Again, it was increased, not at the amount that many of us wish it would have been, but
I think we lost the congressman. Yes, he said he was on his way to Wilcox. If he jumps back in, if you're able to get him, Julie, just tell him we said thank you. Just some information from Congressman Juan Sisciomani on it. He is heading out to Wilcox to talk to constituents. Just wanted you to hear from why a Republican voted yes on this in Arizona, and we'll see how things go moving forward. Coming up in a moment, we've got the Big Q poll question of the day, so please stick around for it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
All right, my weekend gift to you. We've got Steve Zinsmeister instead of Gatos, right, Steve?
What's up, Mike? I'm in for Gatos today.
Great news. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing well. I hope you are, too.
Yeah.
I know the president's doing a little bit better after he took a tumble yesterday.
Yeah, I had it sent to me about 15 times.
Yeah, you know what's funny is the first place that I saw it was, well, everywhere on social media,
right,
mostly by, you know, like conservative outlets putting out there, Biden takes massive fall.
Right.
And I was like, let's be honest, this is not a massive fall. A massive fall is when you're hiking and you fall off a cliff, or
right,
like you fell out of an airplane or something like that.
Or you fall up the stairs going on Air Force One.
Exactly. The Gatos Big Q today, brought to you by our Valley Toyota dealers, is pretty simple. President Biden, while on stage at the Air Force Academy graduation, fell. Does this hurt his chances at getting reelected? Now, let's be honest. Nobody's voting for the president based on whether or not he fell at a graduation. But I will say this. I don't think that it helps, because I think a lot of what's going against President Biden, and honestly, former President Trump, too, is can we just get a guy in office who doesn't have an AARP card? I mean, for real, I just want somebody who can do the job and not be worried about whether or not they fall and break their hip.
Okay, I agree with you, but you got to be careful with that AARP stuff. You're talking to the wrong guy. I've got a birthday.
Right.
I have a birthday this weekend that I'm not real happy about. So, but I think it's a great question. I think the totality of where we've seen the president fall before. He fell off his bike. He fell up the steps getting on Air Force One. There's been questions about his health because of his age. I think all of that together, this one single incident by itself would not have, but it seems to be part of an ongoing issue where people are already questioning. So I think in that regard, yeah, it does. I think it does hurt his chances.
Yeah, and on a more serious note, I mean, I worry about my grandparents.
Yes.
Even my parents. You know, if they were to fall, it's just more serious.
I agree.
It's funny. I was talking to the 8-year-old in our house last night about it, and, you know, I was like, if you fall over, you bounce right back up. I fall over, and you might not see me for a week.
Right. Yes, that is absolutely true. You don't hit the ground any harder. You just get up a lot slower. That's what happens. So there's that gravity is something else when you get older. Well, Steve, thank you.
Put a sandbag in front of him. I mean, come on.
Have a good weekend.
All right, Mike. See you.
Thanks, man. Big Q poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.